Thank you, Bill and Ronnie. Thank you so much. Beautiful. Well, let's see. I know yesterday was a pretty big football day. It always is. And by the way, the lady came this morning. What was our musician's name? What was it? Aaron. He said, his wife said to me when she left this morning, she said, "That's funny, but every church we go to, that's always the first thing the preacher talks about on Sunday during football season. Always mentioned what happened yesterday in the football game." So she said, "That's pretty interesting." Somebody sent me something about football, college football at its best. It said, Ohio State's Urban Meyer on one of his players. He said, "He doesn't know the meaning of the word fear. In fact, I just saw his grades, and he doesn't know the meaning of a lot of words." Here's another one. I'm going to give this one to Buck Hansen. Buck, I pick on you on Sunday night, don't I? By the way, Buck and I spent part of the afternoon. Thank you for going today with our young people. A lot of them right out here in the teach. Y'all have a good time today? It's fun, wasn't it? And so, Buck, thank you and all of you who went with us today. Probably about 45 or 50 people there. We went to CC's Pizza. And any of y'all ever been to CC's Pizza? Pretty good stuff. And had a good time with. And anyway, here's for you, Buck. Says, "Why do Tennessee fans wear orange?" You know that? The answer is so they can dress that way for the game on Saturday, go hunting on Sunday, and pick up trash on Monday. Got it? That's good, isn't it? That's Tennessee. All right, here's another about Michigan. Anybody from Michigan? How many Michigan freshman football players does it take to change a light bulb? This is a coin question. That's a coin question for you young people. No, the answer is none. That's a sophomore course. How did the Georgia football, I'll leave it. Y'all want to hear one about Georgia? Yeah. How did the Georgia football player die from drinking milk? This is the bad one. The cow fell on him. This is for my wife who has roots in West Virginia. Two West Virginia football players were walking in the woods. One of them said, "Look, a dead bird." The other looked up in the sky and said, "Where?" You get it? It's a dead bird. See, I got two. Here's another one. A University of Cincinnati football player was almost killed yesterday in a tragic horseback riding accident. He fell from a horse and was nearly trampled to death, Ray. But he said, "Luckily, the manager of the Walmart came out and unplugged the horse." Here's the last two. How is the Indiana football team like a possum? You heard this whole one. That's something. Who said that? That's real close. It says, they play dead at home and get killed on the road. Okay, here's the last one, and I'll change the name here, Dr. Joe. It's Kentucky. What are the three longest years of a University of Kentucky football player's life? The answer is freshman one, freshman two, and freshman three. That's it. Tonight, if you have your Bible, turn with me to John chapter 10, and this is almost a Christmas passage. Tonight I want to talk to you about the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd from John chapter 10, one of the great passages of the Bible, I think. And you know, Jesus lived in a land which was called the land of the shepherds. And of course, I think probably, you know who the greatest shepherd of all was? Was our Lord Jesus. But in the Old Testament, who was probably the greatest shepherd? And it was probably the shepherd, the one who wrote the shepherd song was David. Tonight I want to talk to you about the Good Shepherd, and I'll read in John chapter 10, I won't keep you a long time. John 10 and verse 1. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought them out, all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And King James says, and have it what? Abundantly. Verse 11, he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my fathers. Then skip over to verse 25, where Jesus said, I did tell you, but ye did not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I could read the whole chapter, but I'll just stop there tonight. I want to just tell you that, and Jesus, by the way, in chapters 8 and 9, he's talking about these false prophets. Who is a true shepherd and a true leader and a false leader? He talks about, he makes some claims in chapter 8. He says, before Abraham was, I am. In chapter 9, he said, I am the light of the world. Maybe tonight I could have preached on some great I ams of Christ. I love Romans chapter 1. I preached a message here one time on the I ams of Paul. Paul said in Romans 1, three things. He said, I am a debtor. Number two, I'm ready. Number three, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Jesus in John's gospel talks about what he is here. He is the light of the world. But he says here, I am the good shepherd. I want to give you three or four things tonight. Actually, five things in John 10. Just point these out to you very quickly about Jesus. When he said, first of all, Jesus said the good shepherd as he paints this picture. And I don't think Josh has a prettier picture of Jesus in the anywhere that I've ever seen than Jesus, Carol, holding a little lamb. Jesus as a shepherd holding the lamb. That's a beautiful depiction of the Lord Jesus. That's what he is, the great shepherd. Now, what does he do? He said in verse 9, the first thing, he said, I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. I want to tell you the first thing, Rob, that the good shepherd does, he saves the sheep. He saves the sheep. That is his primary work. And he said, I am the door. If any man comes in by me, he can enter and go in and out, Ray, and find pasture. Now, I want to just tell you that there's only one way, I believe, for a person to enter the kingdom of heaven, and that's through him. He said, I'm the door. I'm the way. And a lot of people think, well, you can enter the door, maybe it's through baptism or through birthright. I know that there are churches, even in this city, that they will take into the church membership based on the membership of your parents. One of our prominent denomination, and they'll take the child based on the conversion of the parents. And it's wonderful to have Christian parents, but that won't get you into heaven. You know, my mother's, I told you this before, she's the finest Christian I know, but my mama won't get me to heaven. And many of you have Christian parents, but that's not enough. Jesus said in John 3:3, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And the Bible says in Hebrews 4, so then now we all must give account of ourselves unto God. And so being your birthright won't get you there. And then I want to say, church membership won't get you there. You know, it's a matter of Christ. You can join whatever church. It don't matter about the church. It don't matter about good works. You know, good works are good. But you can't buy your way into heaven. Heaven is not for sale. And Jesus said, except a man be born again. He said in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name and do many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them I never knew. That's not the way. Jesus is the door to heaven. He's the only way. He said, and so I want to tell you that the good shepherd saves the sheep. And he says, I am the door, no other way. I love the old song, I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. An old song that we sing. And that's the way it is. But you know, and it's not a door. The door is in contrast to a wall. You have to climb over a wall. But a door, you just open the door and step through it. And when I'm trying to explain to these little ones, Trish, about coming to Christ, I always draw that picture of heaven and a gate, the golden gate, and an angel and the clouds. And then I draw a picture of a heart and a door, and where Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And I say, would you open the door of your heart? And that's the way I try to explain that. And Jesus said here in John chapter 10 and verse 9, I am the gate, I'm the door, and whoever comes that way will be saved. Then I want to say the second thing that the good shepherd does in verse 11. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for sheep. The good shepherd, Brother Harold, dies for the sheep. And by the way, what is the beautiful picture we have of that? What is it? You turn over there to Luke 23 and you'll find a beautiful picture of the shepherd who died for the sheep at a place called Mount Calvary. He died for the sheep. He died for you and he died for me. And that is the primary reason that he came, was to be the sacrifice for our sin. So verse 11 says, the good shepherd dies for his sheep. And verse 15, it says this. He says, just as the Father knows me and I know my Father, I laid down my life for the sheep. That's what a good shepherd will do. And I've said that for many years, you know, and that a pastor ought to be, he's the shepherd of sheep. Well, we love the sheep. And Jesus said, if you're going to be like Jesus, he died for the sheep. And the Bible says that greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friend. Jesus died for the sheep. He said, years ago in pioneer days out west, that a lone man was attacked by a bear. They said, being he had a knife, they had a terrific fight. But this man had a knife, Josh, in his belt. And he pulled that knife, drove that knife through the bear's heart. And he killed the bear. But he knew that he too would die because he was bleeding to death, bleeding profusely. And so he wrote a note. And he left a note behind. And when they found the man's body, Marie, they found a note. It said, the bear killed me, but I killed him first. Now I want to tell you something. Jesus, death, he did. Our Lord and Savior died for us. But it was our sins didn't nail him to the cross. But I want to tell you that he killed our enemies so that hell would never have any hold on us. He took care of that. Then I want to tell you, he said in verse 18, no man takes my life from me. He laid it down. He laid it down amazingly. He laid it down for you and I. And we sing another song. He could have called 10,000 angels. You've heard that song. He could have called 10,000 angels, but didn't do that. And that's amazing. That amazing and his everlasting miraculous love. And so the good shepherd died for us. But the great thing is, that's not the end of the story, is it? He said he laid down his life, but he took it back again. He rose the third day. So I want to say the second thing the good shepherd does. He, number one, the good shepherd saves his sheep. Number two, in verse 11 says he'll die for his sheep. And he did die. And then verse 14, it says, I'm the good shepherd and I know my sheep. I know my sheep. The good shepherd knows his sheep. How many sheep do you think there are of us tonight? How many million sheep do you think God has tonight? Has many, don't he, Flo? Millions and millions. But he knows us by name. And I love that song. He knows my name. You know that song? He knows my name. He knows my name. He knows your name. And I want to tell you something tonight. I know some pretty powerful people. I've met some pretty big, powerful people in my life. I have a friend who has about 15 factories across North America. And then I have another four-star general who really was my sponsor in the military. Some pretty strong people I could call. But the greatest one, I tell you, the greatest person I know, but praise God, more than that, he knows me. He knows my name. And that's the one who died for me, the one I'm talking about tonight. The good shepherd, he knows his sheep. He knows my name. And it's good that we know him, better still, that he knows us. And I tell you how special you are, too. We are the apple of his eye. You're the apple of his eye. Fourth thing I want to say is the good shepherd calls his sheep. Look at number 27. He says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. I had two bulldogs. I raised bulldogs years ago when I was a chaplain at West Point. We raised 30 little puppies. Martha would sleep with them on the floor. We'd have a litter of puppies. The two mama dogs, their name was Ugga and Ruby. You heard the Ugga Bulldog? Bob Cannon, where are you? You heard the Ugga Bulldog? My son named his dog Ugga, but it was not UGA, it was UGGA. And when we rescued old little Ugga, and she was a mama dog, really a grandmother to a lot of my puppies. And then she had a dog, and I had two mama dogs. We'd raise little puppies. But I tell you, and the cadets love my puppies. I take them, Phyllis, a lot of time to church on Sunday night. And they would love those. I'd take a box full of little puppies. Sometimes a month old, 3 weeks, a month. They used to leave our house, and they got about 6 weeks old. But I tell you something about Ugga and Ruby. They could get in a crowd, but they knew my voice. And they wouldn't listen to a voice of a stranger. You could say all you want to, but they knew my voice. And I tell you why they knew my voice. Why do you think they knew my voice? Because they spent time with me. And I spent time with them. And that's a great thing that he knows. The Bible says not only does he save his sheep and he dies for the sheep, but the Bible says here in verse 14, I know my sheep and they know me. And just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. You can know a lot of people, but the greatest thing is to know him. And then the next thing is he calls his sheep. He calls us. And then the last thing I want to say tonight is the good shepherd keeps us. Verse 28 of John 10, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. I love it. I love where Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's wonderful. That's shouting ground. You can't. That is something that every young person needs to learn. That's something you need to know. Because a lot of people today, they believe you could be lost today. Saved today and lost tomorrow. But the Bible don't teach that. The Bible teaches what Jesus said right here, I give unto them eternal life. And that's forever and ever and ever. I don't mean you can't lose it. And it's not based on what we are, what we do. It's based on God's Word. That's the authority of my life. It's not what I think about it or what somebody else thinks about it. It's what God said about it. And just like being you're born the first time, just being born into this world. When you're born again, you can't be unborn. It's something God did. You'd never be the same. And so I want to say these five things, these things are what the good shepherd does. He saves the sheep. He said, I'm the door. By the way, they said that in Palestine, John, I don't know much about sheep herding. I'm a cattleman more so. But they said there were four walls, Brother Harold, four walls. And they had an opening at one of them and one opening. But there was no gate. You know who slept in the gate? The shepherd slept in the gate. And there was no way for a sheep to get out of the pen without coming over the shepherd. And there's no way for a wolf to get in there, a wild animal to get in. He had to come over the shepherd. That's a great thing. And so I want to tell you tonight, he's our protection. He's my protection. And he's your protection if he is your shepherd. One thing stands between me and the world, and that's the Lord Jesus. But I know he's big enough, he's powerful enough, he looks after us, he knows every worry I have, he knows every trial I have, he knows every temptation I have, he knows every need I have, and he's the one standing between me and the world to protect me. He protects us. He's the one that said, I will. What's the greatest promise you can think of in the Bible? That's it, Natalie. He said, I will never forsake you. As he said, I will never forsake you or forget about you. I'll never forsake you or leave you alone. I'm with you all, always. How long? How long? Till the end of the world. Forever and ever and ever. He's our protection. He's the good shepherd. That's who he is. He loves me. He died for me. He knows me. And he's the one that eternally keeps me. I want to just say this. The shepherd's going to see to it. What's his job? What is it? What is the shepherd's job? Not only to protect the... David mentioned in Psalm 23. What is, Jimmy? What is a shepherd's job? He's to find what? Think about it. Still waters. And what else? Green pastures. And if you know the shepherd, that don't mean there won't be some tough days. Any of y'all ever, I want to ask for a show of hand. You prayed about it. You've lost a baby, hadn't you? You used two of them. Some tough days. But we sing that song, Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. And then one of the verses of Dr. Joe is this, so Ronnie goes, this child will face what? Uncertain days. We'll all face that. But we can face it because of the one, the good shepherd, that leads us, Kelly, to